Showtime, folks. The final showtime, actually.
He actually said that, too.
So, how do you feel about Revolution?
It was actually pretty good, in my opinion.
I'm not gonna lie, this was actually well-done pay-per-view. It was like a really fucking good pay-per-view where I was like, okay, from top to bottom, this whole entire card was, like, really good. Yeah. Like, because usually it's like, all right, something really sucks. There was only a few sucky things in here that sucked badly, but, like, everything else was, like, really good. It was, like, over the top good. It was too good. It was like, okay, this shouldn't be this good. So,
I agree. Yeah.
So it started out with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang versus Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party. Now, this is what fucked me up. Like, we even said this on the last podcast. Was like, why the fuck is Willie Mack there? You know what they did, right?
What?
They fucking explained it later on. Not even when the match was going on. They explained it after the match, like during a pay-per-view. It was just like a random throwaway line. They were like, yeah, like Private Party had been auditioning people, and I guess Willie Mack made the cut. That's why he was in that match. It was like, the fuck? I was like, that was so random.
If you remember, they had a match. I forget what it was. When I say who was the tag team partner, you're going to remember the match. But it was, I want to say it was a three-way, like, six-man. Mm-hmm. And their tag team partner was Matt Sydal at the time.
Yes.
And that was, like, really weird, too. Yes, so that's why. They're looking for a third member.
Yeah, but they never explained. They never said, like, they never flat out. No one ever said this vocally. this just was just like something they put in the throwaway line. Was like, hey, this happened. And I was like, what? Like, they didn't explain it on Rampage or Collision. They didn't say shit. Like, it just happened. It was just like, yeah, like, this happened. And I was like, what the fuck? It was so random.
Yeah.
And the Bang Bang Scissor Gang won. And then after the match, Jay just starts cutting his whole promo about, like, how the rest, what's going to be on the rest of the pay-per-view, what's going to be this, what's going to be that. And then Jay literally said something that, like, I got so excited for. But, like, we find out that, like, there's nothing to be excited for. He goes, yeah, he was like, I'm ready to get back in the singles competition. So, a big business, I'm going to do something big. And it's like, yes, Jay's finally going to do something. We find out later on that that's not true. That ain't true. That ain't happening. Like,
I mean, the thing that it is might be a great match, though. So
it might be a great get to that, but still. It might be a great match, but at the same time, it's I still feel like he's undervalued. I feel like this person is very undervalued, but like we'll get to that.
100%. Yeah. So, also, with this match, right? How do you feel about Max's new thing with botching his lines or whatever? Because that has to be a gimmick because he's been doing it too much now.
Okay, so this is what happened because like they like somebody pointed this out. This is what happened. So when he botched his line that very first time, he botched it. That was it. It was fucked up.
Yeah.
And he decided to keep going with that, so they made it a gimmick. So that's
why. Okay.
Yeah. So that's his new thing. So yeah.
It's whatever. Weird.
Yeah, it's like yeah, whatever. It's like it is what it is.
Yeah.
So then we had Willow and Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Like Willow and Chris Statlander won this match, but like I literally thought that they were gonna lose this match because like, oh, they're gonna start dissension between the two of them. It's gonna be a thing. Nah, it wasn't even that.
Stokely was even on his best behavior, oddly enough.
Yeah, and then like after the match, like they cut like a promo and they basically said like, we're family now. We're all together as a team, and it's like, oh, okay. So how long is this gonna go? Like, it kind of weirded me out. Like, what the fuck? That was weird.
Like, there's parts there that I was scared for fucking Julia, though, because she just came back from an injury. I don't know what the injury was, but she kept grabbing her back, and, like, they kept fucking up her back, so it scared me.
Yeah, it was, like, it was kind of a little fucked up, and I was like, oh, she's going to get fucked up, but, like, no, she finished the match. Everything was cool, so I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So then we had Nick Wayne versus, I mean, not Nick Wayne versus Christian. We had Christian versus Daniel Garcia with Nick Wayne and Killswitch with him. And it's like, all right, we already know what's going to happen. We're like, all right, Daniel Garcia is going to win. He's going to be the new TNT champion. That's how it's going to go. No, none of that happened. None of that happened. It just was too much going on. Matt Menard fucked up Killswitch. It just, like, shit just was happening. And just, like, what the fuck? Like, okay. All right.
He confronted Mudder Wayne, which there's a daddy and Mudder joke in there somewhere.
Dude, when Matt Menard got in her face, I swore he was going to kiss her. And I was like,
me too.
Fuck, like you're gonna kiss her? And then like that didn't happen, and just like he stopped her from slapping him, and then like they just went and fought in the back. And then Christian won. I was like, that makes no sense. It makes no fucking sense. It's like Christian won, now he has a title, and everybody's like, oh no, Edge can take it off him. They don't, neither one of them need a title. We even talk about it. Neither one of them need the title. Yeah. They should have put it on Daniel Garcia.
100%. Like that was like one of the downers in this pay-per-view. The match itself was good. Yeah. But that, like, I didn't like it.
Right. I didn't like that either. So then we had Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson, which a lot of, like, there was three matches in this, like, this whole pay-per-view that people was like, this is my match of the night. And like there was a large section that said this was their match of the night. How do you feel about Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston?
It was good. I wouldn't say match of the night to me, but I really liked it. But I wouldn't say match of the night. No, definitely not. Like there's a match like later on that to me was the match of the night because they went in on each other. But yeah.
Yeah. So Eddie Kingston got the win. I don't know why I've seen so many people going, Bryan Danielson to win. He should win because he hasn't won a title yet. He should win. And it's like, no, it doesn't make sense. Like, Eddie Kingston should win. Like, he had the whole stipulation. If I win, you shake my hand. So, yeah. Like, the match was really good. Like, it wasn't a bad match. It was a really good match. And then...
If Danielson wins a title, they should win the trios eventually. That's just my opinion.
I actually don't want him to win a title at all. I don't want him to win a title at all. Okay. I don't want him to just leave in peace. Cause like this is his last year, quote unquote. So if he's done, just let him be done in peace. It's like no title, no nothing. Just let him be done in peace. Like
that's true too.
Yeah, like you don't really need the title. He just wants to wrestle. Like he doesn't need the title. So he just wants to wrestle.
Yeah. Fuck?
So after the match, he goes to shake Eddie's hand and then he just pulls it away. And then Eddie was like, come on, man, like I beat you. And then Bryan shook his hand. And then they had like this backstage thing that was really fucking cool because it's him and Eddie both in the trainer's room. And Eddie says, yo, I don't really give a fuck about the office. I don't give a fuck about the online. I don't give a fuck about any of that shit. I always wanted the respect of the boys. That's why I fought so hard for you to shake my hand, because I wanted your respect. I want to be this guy that I don't care what anybody else says about me, but the guys in the locker room, those the boys, those are the ones I want their respect. I want them to say, yo, he can wrestle. He busted his ass. He was like, that's all I want. And Bryan was like, yeah, like, you got it. He was like, you did your thing. And it was like, it was really a nice little heartwarming thing where, like, that's all Eddie wants is the respect of his peers.
Part of me thought, like, are they about to put him in the fucking BBC? I doubt it. But, like, part of me thought that.
No, but, like, the way he even, like, brought up Claudio and, like, Mox and Bryan and, like, all of them, he brought them up. So I was like, I was kind of thinking the same thing, too. But I was like, eh, I don't want that. But it kind of felt like it could be, like, eventually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just like one of those things. It's like, eh. But, like, he was really a stickler on just, like, getting the boys to love him. So that was a thing. So then we had the All-Star Scramble, a.k.a. the formerly Meat Match. So on Collision, Dante Martin beat Penta and Brian Keith to get in this match. And Magnus beat somebody who I can't remember who the hell he beat because on Rampage he lost to Claudio, so I don't remember who he beat on Collision, but he beat somebody to get in this match. And so those were the two people who were extra in the match. And this match, I'm not going to lie, this match fucking sucked. This match fucking sucked. The right person won, but this match fucking sucked. Wardlow won, so now he gets a title match, and what happens later makes more sense than anything. But, like, this match fucking sucked. Like, it just fucking sucked. Like, people was like, oh, big meaty men. Like, it fucking sucked. It wasn't that good. Like, I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. I only popped for one thing, and it was, like, the weirdest thing. It was just a me thing, because I halfway paid attention. When Magnus came out, for some odd reason, I thought it was Miro. I'm like, wait, Miro's in this match? What the fuck?
I'm not even joking. Not only you, me, a bunch of people online and a bunch of people in the building thought it was Miro. Like, as soon as they heard the horns, God, they was like, what the fuck? Like, Miro's coming out? And then, like, he came out and like, oh, that's not Miro. The fuck? Like, it was so many
thank
people
God
that
it
were
was
like,
just me.
Yeah, it wasn't just you. It was like a bunch of people that literally was like, what the fuck? Like, Miro?
But, speaking of him, like, he's injured or something, like, because, like, I assume he was supposed to be in the meat match, the original match.
Okay, so this is what happened. So on a conference call, Tony Khan said he had an original plan for the meat match, and he said, like, he wanted to have people in it, and those people weren't in it. And he said, like, I had, like, people, like, some kind of people like Keith Lee and Miro to be in it. So, one, Keith Lee is injured. Like, Keith Lee is hurt. Apparently, he had two surgeries, so Keith Lee is out. And Miro was like, dog, like, I don't know why you're even mentioning my name. I'm injured. I've been injured since December. I'm not coming back. I wasn't supposed to be in that meat match. I wasn't scheduled at all. I was injured. I wasn't scheduled before this, but I'm injured, so I don't know why you even brought me up. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, that's what he said. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, Miro's injured. So then we had, like, this was actually really funny to me, because, like, I don't know why this was, like, so stupid, because mm-hmm. Wardlow wins, and he has the Undisputed Kingdom out there with him. So they leave. They literally leave. And 5 seconds later, Roderick Strong's music hits, and they come right back out. I'm like, so what did you leave for? You just could have stood there. It didn't make any sense.
No, here's the thing. Like, I have to, like, correct you on what you said, right? You said Roderick Strong's music hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
They both have the same music. It's the Kingdom's music. Like, I fucking ranted about that shit.
So that makes it even worse. Like, why did y'all go back? Like, y'all were coming right back out. Why did y'all go back?
Exactly. Because I don't think Rowdy was out there, so they should just stay there for him.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't even out there. Like, there was nobody telling you guys to go back. Y'all should have just, like, stayed there. It's like, what the fuck? You should have just stayed there.
And then for Roddy's match, Wardlow was in there, which he would have helped more, too.
No, but, like, I understand Wardlow not being there because Wardlow had just had a match. And, like, I understand why Roddy wasn't there, because Roddy was getting prepared for his match and Wardlow was coming down after his match. So those two, yes. But the other two, like, yeah, like, they should have just stayed out there. Like, they were useless. They were fucking useless.
Basically.
So this was my match of the night. Was Roddy versus Orange Cassidy. Holy fucking shit.
It was really good.
This was really fucking good. And, like, that's why I have been saying this, like, everywhere before this. I was like, Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy is going to be fucking phenomenal. For 3 months since they fucking announced it, I was like, it's going to be fucking phenomenal. And it was. It did not disappoint. Orange Cassidy got murdered. Like, he got murdered so bad that he lost the title. And I'm glad. It's not like I'm glad that he lost the title, but I'm just glad that, like, they put on this great performance.
Yeah.
It was now, so good. Now
Orange can move on from it, too, because, like, he'd been, like, his name been stuck with that title for so long, like, he could move on to it. Like, go for the TNT title or something, you know? Like, he deserves a title, just, like, move away from this one.
No. That's the thing. I kind of want him to be synonymous with this title, but I also want him to go back to go down and work his way back up to this title. Like, and by the time he gets to the title, Roderick Strong would be had lost it to somebody else. It'd be somebody totally different. So he works up to a new challenge. And, like, I'm totally okay with that.
That's true, too. I can see that.
Because, like, you'll think about the International Championship and the first person you think of is Orange Cassidy. So he's, like, so he'd be synonymous with this belt. It makes it, like, perfect for him to just, like, have it eventually. Like, I want him to have, like, at least, like, 3 or 4 runs. Because, like, he's already on his second run. So I would like him to have 3 or 4
runs. I'm just about to ask you that.
Yeah. Because remember, he lost it to Moxley that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we had the Legion of Doom versus the Midnight Express.
I laughed at that shit.
It, like, I mean, I understand what they were going for because they're in Greensboro, and, like, that's, like, old WCW country, so they had to, like, bring it like that. And I was like, all right, cool. But, like, it was, like, the weirdest thing to see Moxley and Claudio, like, the LOD. It was the weirdest thing.
Like, the spikes and all that. They could at least wear the makeup instead.
Yeah, it would, like, that would have been better. But yeah, they did do something really fucking cool. They did the Doomsday Device European uppercut. I was like, okay, that was really fucking cool.
Yep.
That, they bust their ass, and this was, like, a great tag team match. But it was, I feel like it was the wrong people that won, because the BBC won, and they beat FTR. I feel like it was the wrong call. I would have won with FTR.
I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. The only thing I didn't like was, like, so much blood. Other than that, like, I'm okay with the winners.
Yeah, but you got to remember,
but it's a Moxley match, so of course.
Yeah. That's what I'm about to say. But yeah, like that. Yeah, I still would have had FTR won. It was a great match, but, like, I still would have had FTR won.
And yeah, because now what? Like, do they go for the tag team titles or something? Like, I mean, is that the whole point of this?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So then we had Deonna Purrazzo come out, and then we had the old Toni Storm music. And I popped. I was like, oh my God, she went back to being her. And she came out, and I was like, oh my God, she's dressed like her. She's back to being that Toni Storm. Only to get close up and find out it's fucking Mariah May. We're like, wait, what?
Thank God I'm not the only one that got fucked up with that shit.
Dude, it wasn't you. Like, the whole entire crowd popped. Everybody popped. And when they zoomed in and you saw it was Mariah May, everybody was like, wait, is that Mariah May? What the fuck? And then right as they say that, Toni Storm's music hit. Timeless Toni Storm's music hit. And she walks out and you're like, oh, so that was Mariah May. Oh my God. Yeah. It fucked everybody up. But, like, they had the match, and fucking Toni Storm, she cheated to win. She cheated to win. Of course she would. But she cheated to win. Got the pile driver on Deonna Purrazzo, and Deonna Purrazzo loses. I honestly, I don't know how to even take this, because, like, all right, you brought Deonna Purrazzo in, you built her up. Now you put her on this big stage. She goes for the title, and the first thing you have her do is lose to the champion. Like, okay, she lost. Now where does she go? Like, she's gonna go into, like, because you know they rarely have other women's programs. So, like, where is she gonna go? Like, and I feel like that, I don't know. It just didn't feel right.
And you can't put her against Julia, because Julia seems to be set with a program against either Chris or
Willow. It's Willow, because Willow got the win and Willow looked at her afterwards.
Yeah, no, they both looked at her. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe a three.
No. Willow was yelling at her. Willow was like, yeah, you see what I just did? I'm going to do the same thing to you. And, like, that's what Julia was like. I'm like, no. Julia was like, no. So that's definitely a thing.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot to mention that Pac, they aired a promo with Pac, so Pac is coming back. And I forgot to also mention that fucking Kyle O'Reilly's back. Kyle O'Reilly's back, and he showed up after their Roderick Strong match, and they tried to get him to join the Undisputed Era, and he totally said no, but then he whispered something in Roddy's ear and walked away. What do you think he whispered in his ear?
I don't have the slightest clue. Like, I can't even guess it, but, like, if it was something like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if it was something important, like, it would fade Roddy. Like, he totally no-sold it. Like, oh, well. Like, he probably, like, said something like, see you around or something. And he's not thinking about it.
No, no, no. I feel like he said something deeper to Roddy, and Roddy no-sold it because he can't sell it to the people he's with. Because, like, he's with the kingdom. And whatever Kyle O'Reilly whispered in his ear is, like, I feel like it has something to do with them as a crew. Like, just like Roddy, Adam Cole, and him as a crew. And, like, I feel like he whispered in his ear and said something to him, like, you know that what you guys are doing are wrong, and these two idiots are fucking you guys over. And, like, he walked away, and, like, Roddy was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I feel like it has more to do with the story upcoming, with whatever. And the only problem I see with that is we don't know how long Adam Cole is going to be out. We have no idea how long he's going to be hurt. So, like, that's literally prolonging all the stories that are connected to this. Because, like, also the MJF story is connected to this. So it's like everything is being prolonged because Adam Cole is hurt. And it's like, we don't, like, it's going to be a long time before we even get an answer. But this Kyle O'Reilly thing, like, whatever he said, it, like I said, it has to go to Adam Cole. Whatever he said is going to Adam Cole, and Roderick's going to tell him on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So then we had the other match of the night, which was Will Ospreay versus Takeshita.
This was my match of the night.
This match was really fucking good. This match was really good. People are already calling it match of the year. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know what you thought. Like, of course Ospreay was going to have a match, and then you add Takeshita in it. Like, of course it was going to be a great match. But, like, yeah, they were whooping each other's ass. They was whooping each other's ass, and Ospreay got the win. And Takeshita, after that, said that Ospreay is now his new rival. So they're going to have many, many more matches.
Awesome. They showed each other respect after the match, too.
Mm-hmm. And then, I lied to you not, this is like one of the AEW tropes I fucking hate. So Kyle Fletcher comes out, and he's like looking all menacing, like he's going to do something. Then he winds up hugging Ospreay. And literally, as he hugs Ospreay, they put up the graphic on the bottom. Well, per Tony Khan, it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly versus Will Ospreay. It was like, dog, like, they didn't even finish hugging. Like, you just, like, just threw this out there. Just like, nah, this is happening, guys. It's like, what?
I hate that new trope.
Yeah, it's like shit doesn't even be done. They're like, nope, we're going to tell you that they're having a match. It's like, that's not how this works. That is definitely not how this works.
They could have done that in the press conference.
Yes, it was like, it just was so random, but they look like they're on the same team, Kyle Fletcher and Ospreay. They feel like and they look like they're on the same team, but the outcome of this match will determine what happens after that. It'll determine if they're going to stay together and go against the United Empire. I mean, not the United Empire. Fucking Don Callis family. But, like, I don't know.
Could they even did the United Empire, like, symbol? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hand gesture, whatever you want to call it.
So then we had Samoa Joe versus Swerve and Hangman. And so this went a way that, like, I over, like, the last 24 hours was like, okay, I see it could go this way. Because, like, I felt like this could go this way over the last 24 hours. Because, like, I realized something and I was like, what if this happens? And this kind of did happen. And we may or may not get any follow-up on it because apparently Hangman's taking some time off. But the match ended with Hangman getting choked out by Joe while Swerve was coming to save him. Now, did Hangman really tap? or did Hangman tap because he saw Swerve was going to break it up and he didn't want Swerve to win the title? Because that's his thing. He literally said he's going to do everything to make sure he doesn't win that fucking title. So him doing that, did he do it to fuck him over?
100%. I believe he fucked him over.
Like, I believe.
I'm not going to have the title, but you're not either.
Yep, I believe it. Because holy shit, like that seemed too perfect. Because like soon as Swerve reached for him, he just started tapping. Like, yep, fuck you. Like, okay, I'm down for it.
Like, and I feel like he could have got out of it on his own.
He could have. And I think he really wanted to screw him. And then did you see Swerve like do the ultimate babyface thing when Nana was like, hey, here's this chain. Hit him. And Swerve's like, no, I can't do it. I'm a face now.
Yeah, Nana's going to turn on him.
Yep. You know what pissed me off about this match? Like, it was like my one little nitpick in this match was
what?
They knocked down the referees so they could get chairs and other stuff in the ring. And it's like, this is a triple threat. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. Why did you do that? Like, this was so fucking dumb.
No, the one point where fucking Hangman beat the shit out of the referee, like, he literally beat the shit out of him, like, punched him and everything.
Yeah, it was like, I don't like that referee, so I was, like, totally fine with it. So, like, I'm cool. Same. But it was like, why are you beating up the ref? No one can disqualify you. This is literally how this works. Like, no one can disqualify you. Like, it's a thing. Like, that's not how that works.
Like, what weirded me out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except for Joe. The other two technically still have crews, right? Because the Elite never officially said they broke up still. So the Bucks could have came in real quick, did a fucking super kick or whatever. You know what I mean? Or what's his face? The guy with the camera. I forget his name at the moment. The Brandon? Fucking Brandon, yeah. He could have came out. Like, somebody affiliated with them, you know what I mean? Or on Swerve's side, Brian Cage, you know, the Gates of Agony, you know, somebody like that. I'm surprised no one came out.
No, I kind of figured no one would come out because the way that, like, Swerve has been saying, like, I don't want nobody at the ring with me. Like, sometimes I don't even want Nana there. So, like, that's why I could understand the Swerve thing. And also the Bucks was, like, getting ready to try to kill Sting later, so. That's why they didn't show up. But speaking of Sting, we get his last match. We get the timekeeper, which is Ricky Steamboat. So he comes out. Then they note that Magnum TA, Nikita Koloff, Lex Luger, somebody else was in the crowd. Like, it was a bunch of people in the crowd that was there for Sting's last match. So they showed up and that was cool. And then the Young Bucks come out. They come out with their music. Then Darby comes out. Then they do this little Sting thing where he's in the theater and he's sitting there and they start showing all of this old footage, like pictures and stuff. They couldn't show actual footage because WWE owns all of that shit. And they just show pictures of all of the stuff. And, like, reminiscing on all of the Sting stuff. Then he just said, it's showtime for the last time. And so his music hits. But his music hits, and you see Surfer Sting. And at first, that, like,
fucked me up.
Yes, that fucked a lot of people up because they was like, oh, my God, he went back to being Surfer Sting. And then they showed Wolfpack Sting. And it was like, wait, what? Like, wait. Oh, so that wasn't Sting. Yeah, this was the second time they got us. And then Sting finally
twice in one night.
Yep. Then Sting finally came out. And he came out and they played the Seek and Destroy version. He came out. Him and Darby just start going at it, start beating the shit out of Bucks. And then the Suns got in and they start beating the shit out of Bucks. Everybody's beating the shit out of Bucks. And then they start setting up shit They brought out glass. They brought out tables. They brought out ladders. Sting got suplexed off of the fucking the stageway onto its on the two tables, and I swear to God, people was like, "Oh, Sting's dead now," because he was gone for about a good 5 minutes. Sting was gone, and everybody's like, "Where the fuck is Sting?" Then
I thought he died.
Yeah, then Darby jumped off of the fucking highest ladder ever, threw glass, and fucked his back up. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is fucking insane. And then Sting got in the ring. Sting went through a table. Sting popped back up. Sting got hit with something else, got right back up. Then the Young Bucks did this stupid Shawn Michaels, "I'm sorry, I love you," and then super kicked him, and Sting did not go down. So Sting just beat
that,
the shit out of him.
That spot right there kind of remind me of Finn Balor's Demon, when like he totally like no sells anything and just like comes back like,
No, but that's the thing. Sting has been doing this since like for like the last 3 years. Like he just started getting beat up by like somebody, and like he just like no sells the shit out of it. And like to me, it's really fucking weird because it's like you're like fucking 60 something years old, and you're just like no selling some like really fucking major spots. Like they threw him through glass and he popped right back up, and it's like, all right, like at what point are you a normal human? Like what part are you a normal human? Not. And then the thing is, Sting and Darby win. They win the tag title. They keep the tag titles. It's over. When Sting goes to the press conference, Sting is just like the most normal fucking human. You're like, dog, you just went through this fucking match. Darby's literally sitting there like holding his head and like, yo, I just got stitches in my back. Sting's like, I'm perfectly fine. He was like, I was out there. I feel like I could wrestle some more. And it's like, you just almost died. Are you okay? It was so crazy. Like Sting is a phenom. Like Sting is the real phenom. Like what the fuck? Like you're 60 something years old and you're just doing this shit. Like what the fuck?
64, if I'm not mistaken, they said.
Yeah, it's like what the fuck. So, how do you feel about Sting and Darby keeping the titles for Sting's last match?
I mean, I'm okay with it because, you know, it's going to go into like a tournament or whatever, probably. I don't know exactly what was said, but something like that. They're going to do that.
So it is a tag team tournament. Tag team tournament will be happening sometime in March. It will be happening sometime in March, and that's going to be a thing. And then he said that Darby Allin is going to take on Jay White. And Darby's like, wow. Jay's really good. Like, oh well. So they're gonna fight at Big Business. And then Tony said in Atlanta, Boston, and Toronto, he has something special for each and every one of them. I know what Atlanta is. It's Okada. Boston is Mercedes. And Toronto, I have no idea. And if, like, that little spoiler that the lady said that, like, in one of the commercials she's seen Kenny Omega, if that's it, then Kenny Omega would be the Toronto thing. So, I mean, so it's looking like AEW is going to have a lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. So on Rampage, Zack Knight attacked Angelo Parker. And that was random to me. I don't know why. I mean, we knew it was going to happen, but, like, they literally was doing this little backstage, hey, we're going out on a date. Hey, guys, yeah. And then all of a sudden, Saraya stopped them, and then Angelo popped up. I mean, not Angelo. Zach just popped out of nowhere and just hit him in the back of the leg. Bam! It was over. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. So mixed tag, right? That's where this is going.
This is going to be a mixed tag, but it's like... Like, I kind of don't care because it's like, it went to a level that it wasn't like, it's non-carable because in the beginning, it was just like, all right, Saraya versus Ruby. Perfect. That's great. Now Saraya's brought her brother, and it's like now Saraya and her brother versus Ruby, and it's like I don't really care. Like I don't really care. Like you made it weird. I was perfectly fine with the first part. Now it's like you made it weird, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Cause like I don't know, like I don't know why that was a thing. So yeah.
I don't know. Like I'm. So far, I'm not a fan of her brother either. So,
me neither. So, on Collision, we had Buddy Matthews versus Mark Briscoe. And Mark Briscoe just attacked the shit out of Buddy Matthews and then beat him up so bad. And, like, he brought him to, like, the stage. And Mark Briscoe was going to set him on fire. Like, he literally had the pyro thing, and Mark Briscoe was going to set him on fire. It was really crazy because Mark Briscoe was out of his fucking mind. Like, I get it. I get why he did it. But, like, yo, he was going to fuck him up.
Don't fuck with Mark. Don't fuck with Mark. You pissed him off.
It was really, like, it was really fucking crazy. It was like, what the fuck? But, yeah, that was a thing. We had a couple of matches with, like, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang thing. And then we had a backstage promo with Serena Deeb. And a lot of people, including myself, picked up on what Serena Deeb said. Serena Deeb says, yeah, like, I've been waiting for somebody to come challenge me. Like, I've been beating everybody's ass here. And I don't really get the challenge that I need. I'm the final boss. I need somebody to, like, to challenge me. So whoever you are, wherever you are, come find me. And it's like, okay, well, you said the final boss. And like, yeah, that immediately to me was like, oh, you're talking about Mercedes. That's exactly where that's going, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's like that's definitely a thing. So her and Mercedes, so that looks like Mercedes' first feud. I don't really have anything to say about it? Like, I don't even have anything nice to say about it. It's a thing. Like, I don't.
Like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, like, that's how I feel. It's like, yeah, well, it is what it is. It's not. I mean, it's something for her to do because, like, even Toni Storm basically once again called her out and called her Wendi Richter. So basically, she's still calling her out. And once again, like, that's one of the things, like, you can't do. Like, so giving her Serena Deebs before she gets to Toni Storm is, like, perfectly fine. But the moment you have her and Toni Storm wrestle, like, the title is just, like, you have to take the title off of Toni Storm and put it on Mercedes. Like, you can't do anything else. It has to go right to Mercedes. Like, there's no other way to do this. Like, you can't. Like, you're, one, you paid her all this money, and two, she's a bigger star than Toni. Like, you have to put the title on her. Once they clash and say, oh, this is for the title, you can't screw out the title. You have to give it a title. Like, so...
But your fans are going to get pissed off if you don't.
Yeah, it's like, the best thing to do is, like, to either keep them away as much as possible and, like, keep her away from a title hunt and, like, just keep screwing her over, like, by telling the ratings. Like, even Toni said, like, you have to go through the rankings. And it's like, if you keep doing that and just, like, make her work her way up to the match, you can postpone it. But, like, the second that her and Toni Storm are even in proximity, she has to win the title. Like, there's no other way. Because, yeah, like, that would just be, like, you just blowing the whole entire deal. Just like, nope, you can't win the title. And it's like, you have to do it. I'm sorry.
I agree.
So, yeah, that was all of the AEW stuff, because like nothing really happened on Collision, because Collision was basically building up to Revolution. So it was like, yeah, nothing really happened. Rampage is just Rampage. Nobody really gives a shit about that. Like, so
basically.
So now let's switch over to WWE land, and it all started with the fucking Rock in a 21-minute Instagram video. And the funny part is, like, I saw the video. I saw the video. This is exactly what happened, and this has happened with everybody that watched it. The video came out. We watched it, and we looked at the time, and it said 15 minutes, 36 seconds. We watched it, and we was like, oh, okay, cool. We watched this video. Rock deleted that post and reposted it, and it was a 21-minute post. And we was like, the fuck? Like, didn't we just watch this? Because, like, the first stuff he was talking about, we was like, we just watched this. What the fuck is going on? And then we watched the elongated version and was like, okay, well, holy fucking shit, The Rock is back. Because, like, I saw so many people that watched, like, to start watching, like, the first few minutes of the 15-minute version. They was like, oh, like, And then once the 21-minute version dropped, everyone was like, dude, The Rock is fucking back. He talked shit about Dave LaGreca. He talked shit about Cody. He said, fuck you. Fuck your story. Fuck your dumbass little dog. He was going. And I'm not adding the fuck part. He literally said, fuck you, fuck your little dog and everything. He was
like, going. Fuck your story is literally everywhere right now because he said it.
Yes, like, yo, he was really, like, he really got into his fucking bag. And it was, like, one of the things where everybody was like, oh, shit, The Rock is back. And then people was like, well, The Rock, like, he doesn't have it anymore. Like, they said that, like, a while ago. They was like, he doesn't have it anymore. And after that promo, everybody was like, yo, The Rock fucking has it. The Rock is that guy. And everybody just, like, was, and then, like, we almost forgot that we were going into fucking SmackDown. We're like, yo, this promo was so great. What do we need SmackDown for? And it was like, oh, no, we needed SmackDown. We needed SmackDown. So, basically. So here's some stuff that, like, we missed last SmackDown episode, actually. Because we went right into the review. We didn't, like, deep dive into what was going on with The Rock. Like, The Rock kind of pointed at Roman. People are saying he pointed at Roman that he was going to lose last week. They were like, yeah, he pointed at him. He basically was telling him he's, like, he's a loser and, like, he's got him and Cody's going to finish his story. And, like, yeah. And it's like, and I'm just, like, looking at it. I'm like, okay, that kind of does look at it. But also he was, like, pointing towards, like, the cameraman. And then after this week, people are like, nah, dog, it's definitely happening. And I'm like, I'm not gonna say it is. I'm not gonna say it is. I'm not gonna give you guys that because it's like, it was like a little something in here that happened that I'm like, yeah, everybody sees it going this way, but I see it going the opposite way. So all of a sudden, SmackDown opens up with Roman Reigns. Roman comes out. Roman says, acknowledge me. He didn't like the response. So he tells him, acknowledge him again. So he's basically saying, yo, WrestleMania is going to be a big thing. And I'm going to beat Cody, blah, blah, blah. He says, whatever, whatever. And Roman just says, all right, I'm done. Roman just says, I'm done. And Roman just, you know, leaves. So, and Paul's like, wait, 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 wait. He's like, what do you mean, wait? He's like, he's coming out. Like, what are you talking about? You know, he's coming out. The guy. The Rock. And Roman's face starts twitching. Like, he gets that little twitch, like that angry twitch. Then
you notice that, right? He has a twitch when he's like really fucking pissed off.
Yeah. And then The Rock comes out. So before I get to that, like, there was like, they were doing the recap of what happened in Elimination Chamber, and there was a shot that, like, I'd never seen before that they showed, like, a video shot, and it's Cody Rhodes, and, like, this is after the whole, like, debacle in the Grayson Waller show. He's standing there, and he's, like, angry, and he's, like, called out The Rock, and he's just standing there. But if you watch it, Seth Rollins' head just peeks up over the back, and Seth Rollins just has this angry face. And you're like, the fuck? Like, this kind of weird. It's like kind of weird. So back to SmackDown. Rock comes out. Rock comes out and says, oh, we're in Glendale, Arizona. He's like, we're like minutes away from Phoenix. Phoenix has the biggest crackhead and meth population. And everybody fucking cheered. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? It was so, oh my God, it was so wild. And then he said crackhead Karens and meth head Marys. And I'm like, is this okay? Is this like legally okay? I was fucking...
It's not, but it's The Rock.
I was so fucking lost. And like on the TV, it kept blacking out because the fans had a Die Rocky Die sign. And apparently Fox was like, no dying here. It's like, dude, it's wrestling. It's not a real thing. This has been going on for years. This Die Rocky Die thing.
They did that like when he first turned heel, had signs and whatever. They actually started it when he was face, but still.
Yeah, like, it was like, what the fuck? Like, that's normal. So,
yeah.
The Rock starts going on about how we screwed him out of the biggest WrestleMania, screwed ourselves out of the biggest WrestleMania. Like, we're fucking stupid. And then The Rock just says, you know what, Cody Rhodes, since you challenged me, you and that walking clown emoji, Seth Rollins, how about you guys have a tag team against me and Roman? And here's the thing. If you guys win, nobody from the bloodline comes to the ring and fucks with you guys. But if we win, it's bloodline rules. That means I could be out there as timekeeper. Jay could do this. And Solo to sing the national anthem. Dude,
I was waiting for that one.
Dude, when he said that, you look at Solo just cracks. He just fucking cracks. And then he just had to wipe his face and just like compose himself. And Rock just kept going. And it was so hilarious.
He said something to the effect, like, you see Solo over there? He's happy as hell. And like he just had like the serious face. That's his happy face right there.
Like, he was trying so hard to break Solo. It was so funny. So then it happened. The Rock is about to finish up, and he's got the microphone, and Roman stops him. And everybody's like, oh, shit. Roman stops him and says, yo, I'll do anything for the family, but you have to acknowledge me. And I literally thought Rock wasn't going to do that, but Rock said, I'll do anything for the family, so I acknowledge you. And they said, if you smell what the bloodline is cooking, and they put their ones up. Everybody immediately is like, oh my God, he's going to screw Roman over because look what he did. He put him in a tag match, and then he's going to lose purposely, and then he's going to screw Roman over the next night. Look, because Roman made him acknowledge him, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, how did y'all get that wrong? Like, all of that's going to happen, but, like, you got it wrong because you didn't hear what he just said. They both literally said the same exact thing. They said, I will do anything for the family. And it's like, Do you think they both acknowledged that they would do anything for the family? So why would screwing over Roman be for the family? Like, people are like, they're like, oh, because Roman embarrassed the family with all the cheating and stuff. And like, he's not even a real stand-up champion. And it's like, it doesn't matter. He's still on top of the game. Like, him losing is bad for the family. And them, like, fucking each other over is bad for the family. It's like, are you guys like, what? Like, you're crazy.
And him cheating and all that has nothing to do with it, because if you remember, I forget what pay-per-view it was, but Appa and I want to say Sika basically did acknowledge him as the tribal chief. That's when they first introduced the veil and they put it on his like neck and whatever. And he was cheating well before then, you know?
Yeah, and like that was at Hell in a Cell. And it's like, I don't understand, like, okay. People, like, they want this turn because they're like, oh, Cody's winning. Cody's definitely winning. Cody's winning. No, Cody is winning later on, because the thing is, Rock keeps saying, I'm doing this for the family. I'm doing this for the family. And if Roman wins, and I think Roman is going to win, Roman is going to win, when Roman loses the title later on, Rock is going to be pissed. And Rock's going to say, the family was counting on you. You failed the family. Now you are no longer tribal chief. You are no longer the head of the table. You failed the family. And that's going to set up WrestleMania, because you're not going to set up WrestleMania right now. Like, all right, we're setting up WrestleMania 41. We're setting it up right now. And it's like, no. Because in a year from now, nobody, like, there's going to be no drama. Like, okay, say he loses the title. Roman loses the title to Cody. And it's all The Rock's fault. Oh, we have to wait a year so The Rock can wrestle him at WrestleMania. And it's like, there's no drama there. There's no drama. Like, Roman's not even going to be around. There's no Roman and Rock are neither one of them going to be around. There's no drama there. There's no build. Like, what is he just going to hold on to for the fact that he lost the title until next year? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, him losing the title later on down the line, that moment where he's like, yo, I left you in charge and you failed. Like, I told you you would achieve and you failed. Like, I wasn't around. You failed. That's building on a story where he starts calling him the fuck out. It's like, yeah.
Do you see him hitting him with the same thing he hit Jimmy and Jay with? That since you lost, you're out the family? Remember that whole thing that he did try to do with Jimmy and Jay?
Yeah, I see him doing that whole thing. I see him doing that whole thing. It's going to get messy. And
yeah,
that's what people are like. They're like, okay, this is how the story is going to get set up. And it's like, no, if they set it up down the line, it's more valuable because now you're more invested. First off, you're already angry. You're already angry that Cody lost. So now you're pissed off. Now part of you don't even want to see this. And Roman's running around still champion. Then when he finally fucking loses it and Rock comes in and just like fucking berates him and puts like this, like all the words to him, and you're just like, holy shit. And that all you're going to think about is them fighting, because Roman's going to hit him. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to talk down to Roman. Like, once he loses that title to Cody, and Roman's just going to punch the shit out of him. Roman's going to say, you can't disrespect me. I'm the tribal chief. And that's how it starts. And they're going to pull him apart. And that's it. Like, you're like, okay, I can't wait to WrestleMania 41. Like, you do it now, it's like, oh, they have the little thing. Now we have to wait to WrestleMania 41. Do-do-do-do-do. No one's going to sit there like that. No one's going to do that. Like, the Rock and John Cena thing was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Why it was called once-in-a-lifetime, you had to wait, even though it was twice in a lifetime. You had to wait, and they were like, all right, here's the thing. We're going to make you wait. And it's like, yeah, because Cena was around. We knew that The Rock was going to come back eventually. But here's the thing. Roman's not always around. And the intrigue of having the title loss later on, when Rock goes, I'm going back to do movies and shit. I'm leaving you in charge. When I come back, you know, we're going to have that match at WrestleMania for the title. All right, I see you. When Rock goes, Roman loses that title and he comes back and like, what the fuck just happened? You lost the title, you son of a bitch. And there it goes. And like, you have it right there. It's perfectly there. It's just like, it's a thing.
Yeah. I could see that. That's like way better than just fucking having The Rock turn on him right at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then the other thing The Rock brought up was he's in charge. Nobody else is in charge. I'm in charge. I'm in charge, which literally he technically is. He said there's no other person in charge, and people start chanting for Triple H. Now, that is going to come into play at WrestleMania. How is it going to come into play? I don't know, because I feel like Triple H is going to try to fix things, whatever The Rock is going to fuck up. But Rock is going to have some kind of another plan. Rock is going to have a double plan. And someone joked about it, and, like, I can kind of see this. Like, Triple H gets rid of the bloodline, and Rock has his bloodline, where Rock brings in Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, like, Zilla Fatu, and he has his guys. And Roman's like, I didn't approve of this. And he's like, you don't have to, because they're bloodline and they're family. And it's like, you see how this all like ties in, because Triple H is going to take out the ones he know, but the ones he don't know come in and screw Cody. And it's like, people will be like, oh, wow, that's like 2 years in a row with the same dumb shit. WWE can't find nothing better. It's like, yeah, but see, you have to wait, because if they do it this way, like, the next time when they get to that point, Triple H is really going to screw everybody, and that's how we lose the whole fucking tribal chief thing and the title, and Cody gets his win, and everybody's happy, and then Roman's angry, Rock's angry, they want to fight, you have the new bloodline civil war with Jay coming back in the fold, and it's like, oh, we have a full-on bloodline war, and then it just goes into WrestleMania, and we're right there, just like in the 19th inning, and we're like, this shit is great. This is fucking cinematic storytelling. It all makes sense.
Exactly. It does. It does. Isn't, like, I've been seeing this a lot online now. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I've seen it online, and like, to me, it's totally your fan base, but isn't Rock a totally higher level than fucking Roman? Because, like, he's a tribal chief. I've been seeing Rock referred to as the High Chief.
But see, this is the thing.
Is that another thing?
It is a thing, but it's not a thing. Because it's a thing because Rock descends from the High Chief bloodline. He descends from High Chief Peter Maivia, so he's the next in line, so he is technically the High Chief. Oh. Like, also, Roman is the head of the table. He's the tribal chief. He also is. They are both the same thing. Like, they're both the same thing because, like I said, Rock's bloodline comes straight from the High Chief, so he's now the High Chief. Roman's is the tribal chief. He's now the tribal chief. It just trickles down that way, so they're both the same thing, which neither one of them, because of the blood pack, they're even. It's just one person is the one person holds the whole thing, and that's whoever they choose to be, the tribal chief or the high chief.
Okay.
So it's like, it's not even a thing. So The Rock, like, to be honest. So basically
whoever the bloodline decides to follow.
Yeah, but like, to be honest. Case. To be honest, like, to be truly honest, like, there is, like, The Rock is the tribal chief. Like, The Rock is really the tribal chief. Like, in all reality, in real life, Rock is a tribal chief. Rock is the most famous one. Rock is the most powerful one. Rock is the true high chief. Like, he's the true high chief, tribal chief. He's whatever you want to call him, because everybody in that whole entire Samoan dynasty eats because of The Rock. Like, Roman is feeding now, but everybody eats because of The Rock. Rock is the guy. He's the true head of the table. Like, this little wrestling shit is whatever it is, but Rock's the true head of the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, back to SmackDown. We had LA Knight running around trying to beat the shit out of AJ Styles, because AJ Styles fucked him over, and he's like, yo, I want to kick his ass. And then Grayson Waller and Austin Theory running to Randy Orton, and Randy Orton basically wants to match with Austin Theory, which I have some things to say about that match later on. Because,
okay,
yeah, I have some things to say about that. That, like, wow. Like, that's all I can say is wow. This is all I can say about that. But, yeah. So, then we had a backstage with, like, Catch Quarter Crew or whatever the fuck their names are. And they're talking to Nick Aldis, and Nick Aldis is like, yo, listen, I'm having a talk with Adam Pearce, and we're going to have a decision about the tag team titles soon. And it's like, there it is. They're splitting the tag team titles up.
Yay. Finally.
Finally. So then we get Tiffy and Naomi, and Tiffy wins. This was a very short match. I've seen people complain about it because the Rock and Roman segment took like 40 minutes and the women had like 3 or 4 minutes. It's like,
I think literally two.
Yeah, and the funny part is, like, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not saying, oh, women deserve less. Well, the Rock and Roman thing needed to be what it is. It's like, yeah, but you guys remember that the women's segments, they get segments every week, and like they're going to have their time back next week. This isn't just like Hunter going, nah, fuck women, I don't like it. It's like everybody had their time cut because of the Rock and Roman segment, but like next week everything is going to be back to normal because, you know, is Rock and Roman priority of all? Because if they're not making money, WWE's not making money. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So then we had the Kabuki Warriors versus Dakota Kai and Bayley. And surprise, 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 Dakota Kai pulled a Sid Vicious. Or, in modern cases, Dakota Kai pulled a Bayley, because Bayley did the same exact thing to Sasha. So, yeah.
Karma.
Yeah.
Not that one, but actual karma.
Yes. So now Dakota Kai has left Bayley, and Bayley's all alone. And this would, like, this storyline was like perfectly written. If Mercedes didn't sign to AEW, this was perfectly written for her to show up here. Like, this is like perfectly written. It's like, this is it. Like, this is what happens. Like, this happens. Mercedes shows up, saves the day. And it's like, now it's at the point where it's like, she has no help. Like, she has nobody.
What would you do, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
If everything's a fucking swerve, she's not in AEW, which, in fact, she is. Like, I do believe it. I'm not saying she's not. But what if? What if she's not? And it's someone totally different. They're just hinting at it's her. And she winds up helping Bayley last minute.
Wrestling would be really cool again. Wrestling would be cool.
So I would feel bad for Tony at that point.
Yeah, so then we had EO backstage, and Jade Cargill walked up and looked at the belt and basically was saying she wants to challenge for the belt eventually. And then we had Zion Quinn versus Bron Breakker. And Zion Quinn, in 20 seconds, died a horrible death because he got speared.
And you're being nice by saying 20 seconds, by the way. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was very much shorter than that. So then we had Carlito versus Santos Escobar, and it all led to the return of Rey Mysterio. So Rey Mysterio is back, and we're gonna get LWO versus Legado del Fantasma at WrestleMania. And I see a problem here. I see a big, huge problem here.
Okay.
Because it's 3-on-4. It's 4 people on the LWO side. It's Carlito, Rey, DJZ, and Cruz del Toro. That's 4 people. Yeah. Then on Legado's side, it's Santos, Angel, Berto. So, yeah, it's 3-to-4. And that's not even counting Elektra and Zelina. So, Yeah.
It might be five if you count fucking Dragon Lee.
And Dragon Lee. See, like that. See, that's the thing. Like, you have so many people on one side. The other side is like truly outnumbered. It's like, what do you like? So, how do you rectify this?
I can't think of anybody else, but Dominic. But Dominic got Judgment Day, so
yeah, Dominic's with Judgment Day. So, like, you would have to have a Hispanic, two Hispanic stars to be with Legado del Fantasma, which I don't know who they are. And I can't think of them because it's probably two that like I'm probably missing. But whoever those two are should join Legado del Fantasma, and then that's it. Like, then we have our 5-on-5 for WrestleMania.
Karrion Kross has his own crew. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is Latino.
Yep. So then we had the main event. Kevin Owens is out there on commentary, Austin Theory versus Randy Orton. And they brawl outside, and Kevin just starts saying, do the thing, do the thing, do the table thing, do it, do the table thing.
When he retires, I want him to do commentary. I don't know for what show, but I want him to do commentary. I love him on the table.
And then fucking Austin Theory winds up doing the table thing to Randy Orton. And then he goes, that's not what I wanted to happen. He's like, that's wrong. That shit was hilarious. So,
yes,
they have the match. And I don't know what happened, but they were going for a suplex spot. And it fucked up. It was a superplex spot off the top rope. And it fucked up. And everybody immediately goes, Randy Orton, save Austin Theory's life. You watch that back and pay attention closely. Austin Theory saved his own life and saved the move and made it look fucking awesome. Because Austin Theory was on the top and Austin Theory took a flip to make it look like the superplex worked. And it was like, oh shit, like that fucking was awesome. And if you don't believe me, if you don't believe me, here's the point that has to be made, because the finish of the match. Austin Theory rolls in to do his little stunner thing where he rolls in, do this, jump in the rope and do the, well, no, the drop kick. That's what he does. The drop kick. He jumps in the ring, does the drop kick. He jumps in the ring, jumps up, stretches out completely so Randy can catch him with the best RKO we've seen in years. And Randy hits with the RKO in 1, 2, 3. And it's like, you don't have that kind of a finish if Austin Theory isn't that good. Austin Theory is fucking great. Like, watching that match back, I'm like, okay, the kid, like, he's really good. I don't know what he's missing, because he is missing something. I don't know. I feel like he's missing something in his character or something. Whatever it is he's missing something. I don't know what the fuck it is.
It's the character. It's the character, because he's great in the ring, so it's 100% the character.
Yeah, it's like he just feels like off. But once he like fucking puts the character together, it's over. It's fucking over. Like he's gonna be over. And like I can't wait to that shit is it works. And I know some people are still holding on to like whatever happened with the girl, like because. He was somebody in that speaking out movement where the people was like, oh my God, like he did a thing with a girl. And then it was found out later on the girl was older and was like, yeah, she wasn't in high school. She was a grown woman. She was in nursing school. We just like, you know, hooked up or whatever. But yeah, she just was in nursing school. It wasn't what you guys think. And then people was like, oh, well, you know, we're still mad about that thing. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, because his was one of the things where, like, he was immediately there and, like, he was on speaking out and people was like, oh, him, he's got to go. And then when they digged a little deeper and was like, oh, but here, Like, oh shit, like, okay. Like, that is definitely not what happened. So, yeah.
Like you always preach, people got to do a little bit more investigating. It's not that hard.
Yeah, like, they don't. They don't. So, yeah, like, that was SmackDown. And I do want to say one thing about Will Ospreay. Like, he's fucking happy. Like, I've never seen Will Ospreay this happy, like, to do anything, but he's, like, fucking happy to be part of AEW and whatever they're doing. Like,
right.
Yeah, like, I've never seen Will this happy. Will is fucking, he's ecstatic, he's happy, he's just, he's like, yeah, this is the best thing I've ever done, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, good for you, Will. Like, I'm happy for him, because he's happy.
Yeah.
Even though, like, he's really good in the ring, and, like, he has done some stupid shit, and, like, now he's older, he's, like, kind of, like, he's kind of rectified doing some of the stupid shit that he's done. It's like, yeah, no, Will, he fucked up. Like, he hasn't apologized for it, but you can tell, like, he's a lot better, because, like, he was talking about his girlfriend, and he was like, yeah, like, she's been through some stuff, and he's like, I feel for her and all that, and it's like, oh, so he understands, like, he's not such a dickbag. Like, he understands, he gets it. Like, he fucking gets it. So he knows, like, whatever shit he's done before, he gets it. He understands. Like, this is all I can say. He gets
people it. Eventually learn.
Yeah, and he's, like, he's one of the people who have eventually learned, even though he hasn't outright said the apologies and all of that, he's learned. Like, you can tell he learned. It's like, you can see it. He's learned.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he definitely learned. So, yeah, like, that was the one thing I wanted to bring up about William Ospreay. So, yeah.
Bill, if you will.
Yeah, he's grown. You could call him Bill. So that was the thing. So any more news?
I ain't got no news. It's 3 in the fucking morning, so yeah, Tony Khan has to like fucking like make the pay-per-view shorter, I think, or the scrum shorter.
No, the scrum is the thing that kills it, because like they were off the air at 12 o'clock. It was off the air at 12 o'clock. The scrum went 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It just kept going, and he wouldn't shut up. And it's like, dog, like, we have to go. And he's like, no, you guys don't have work tomorrow. It's like, no, we do. And he literally had to be somewhere at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know why the fuck he kept talking. It was very weird. It's very weird.
Like some football thing or something, he said.
Yeah, with Roger Goodell. Like, I agree with Tony Storm. Fuck it. Why don't you just, like, make these things longer and just start serving breakfast? Like, shit. That's how I feel. Like, fuck it. Like, just fuck it. Yeah,
because she said that shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we're going to bring this to a close. And, yeah, this is Sting's retirement. And too bad we won't see him around anymore, but... Yeah, Sting was great.